Tonight on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are talking about Season 6, Episode 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Fear and Loathing on the Planet Kitson. Right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And Jeff Randall's in New York!
New York City, man. New York City!
The biggest of apples.
That's right. That's right. That's awesome, man. So, you're in New York. And
I am.
Which we mentioned last week, you were going to New York. I am also coming to New York just to visit you.
It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be so fun. I realized that since he already had a hotel room, I could get a flight for super cheap from Atlanta, and I'm just going to shoot up to – I've got to go to Atlanta anyway, so I'm going to shoot up to New York for no reason. It's going to be awesome.
What do you mean, no reason? There's all kinds of reason to come to New York.
Yeah, but I don't have, like, a job to do.
It feels
very frivolous to just, like, take off and go to New York. But I'm down. So just like Jeff said, if anybody wants to get a drink or something, let us know. We actually should totally do a meetup.
We should. I'll kind of scout out some places around. If anybody knows any great places around the Financial District area, World Trade Center, that area, really anywhere in Manhattan, let us know. And, we'll do a meetup.
Yeah, we should have had, like, a good spot in mind and then been like, meet us at this place at this time.
Yeah, but everybody knows by now that we just kind of wing it. This is our thing.
It's true. We wing it. Maybe by the time we drop our last episode tonight, we'll have that in mind. But tonight we're talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, and just to throw it out there, Jeff is also being recorded over Skype instead of his normal super cool setup with a condenser mic. So the quality is probably not the same as normal. We apologize, but we did not want to wait any longer to talk about these episodes and talk to you guys some more. So let's talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., my friend.
All right. I'm ready. I've watched them on a very tiny screen because Hulu's not available in the hotel. Let's do this.
Oh, weird. Hulu's not available. Like on this. You mean like you. I gotcha. Not on their TVs.
Right. I've got Netflix on their TV, but not Hulu.
Gotcha. Well, I am really digging this last episode.
This last episode was crazy. Like, the whole tone was just so whacked out different from the way that this season started.
Yeah.
The season started kind of like just really dark and gritty and like, let's go find Fitz. I guess we should spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert for everybody.
So the season started off all like gritty and mean and just like really aggressive, but then now it's like they're starting to have fun with the idea of like there's other shit to do in space.
Yeah, well, I did not know the title of this episode when I watched it, and in the middle I was like, they're doing a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas thing. Like when it goes to the, I don't know if you know that movie or whatnot, but that whole scene where it goes fisheye and the fisheye lens, and it shows her, and she has her inner monologue talking, and she's like, I lost my little British friend. that's from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, a really, really great movie about Hunter S. Thompson, the author who just does a lot of drugs, and the whole movie is like from his perspective. So there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on around him, and he's like constantly doing a monologue that was very similar to what Daisy was doing in that moment. It was awesome. It's so cool that this show took a second to make a, not a second, but an entire episode to make a Fear and Loathing reference.
I didn't even know the name of the episode until like right before we were going to record, when we were looking up what it was. And I had read in our feedback that somebody had said, you know, like Fear and Loathing on the Planet of Kitson. I was like, aha, that's clever. You know, that's a clever thing. But no, that's the name of it. That's just the title.
The name of the episode. It's great. It's really, really great. And yeah, I did love seeing a little more fun happen this episode. You know, also some seriousness, but like really fun friendship stuff, both with Fitz and his Chromacon.
I love Enoch even more now than I did before.
I do too. I was a little nervous middle episode. Like, I almost felt like Fitz was going to overdo the using and his bluffing, as it were, and that Enoch was going to get offended. But man, Enoch as the sad robot is so funny.
Like when he had his head laying on the alien blackjack table, and he's just like, "I have no purpose." And then like he turns his head and just continues, like he reflops his head on the other side to look at Fitz.
Yeah,
died laughing.
We've all been there. We've all been there. Those existential crises. Oh man. It reminded me, I feel like it's almost a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
There's the, like, mopey suicidal robot or whatever.
Marvin, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. And then, also in this episode, we finally got, Daisy kicking some ass.
Yes, which I found slightly unbelievable because she could barely get off the floor a second earlier. She was like, she's like, okay, I can't use my Quake powers because I can't control them. And then for whatever reason, Simmons was a better shot, and she's just as high. And, I forget his name, but the male agent who was on the ship who had three.
Davis. He had like six. Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny. Oh, he was so funny.
I'm a secret agent in space.
So most Agent Shield episodes I enjoy, but I don't want to necessarily rewatch. This one I'm definitely going to rewatch. It's so good.
Yeah, this is one that you don't really need any context. It's just fun. You just need to watch it for the fun of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really, especially like the whole relationship between Fitz and Enoch, really feels like they're finally establishing what this year has done to their relationship. I loved, the classic like Rain Man thing where Enoch is great at gambling but bad at people, and trying to utilize that in a casino. Like, I just thought that was so much fun. This was fun on fun on fun. Like, so many elements were super fun in this episode.
And then if you're looking into it a lot, you can kind of see like where Fitz and Enoch have progressed in this time frame going into when they showed up in the future of the last season, because all of this is happening before Fitz wakes up from cryosleep. So if we're following the thought of, or at least Fitz's thought of, like, this is what has to happen in time, it all goes in in the same flow, then all of this should be still happening to lead Fitz into being, that space pirate guy that he was in the future.
Interesting. I'm sorry, I'm a little lost. When was he a space pirate guy?
If you remember in The Lighthouse, when they went to the future in season 5.
Right.
Fitz took the long way. That's why they're searching for a cryosleep pod.
Yeah, I knew that.
So he shows up and is posing as like a decorated space pirate. At the time, he had that medal that was, indicating how many people he had killed. He seemed a bit more vicious in the future. So, I don't know, it seems kind of like they're playing this into that character and kind of informing those decisions later.
Interesting. I don't know about that. I was assuming that the destruction of their ship was something that's only happened in this timeline. I didn't think that this stuff happened in the previous timeline, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what happened to their ship in season 5. All we know is that he just showed up in the future.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So we don't know how he got there.
That's a great point. I was thinking, yeah, and it does make sense that he would be pretty good at bluffing his way into that crew on the ship in season 5. So cool. That is interesting. Do we know why their ship was destroyed? Like, what was that wave that destroyed their ship?
No, not at all.
Okay. I was wondering if it was anything that was done by the agents this season or something. I don't know. So we don't know if it was something that was naturally occurring that happened last time, would have happened last time anyway. But if it did, that's a neat twist on the story. I like that. Well, I really enjoyed this episode. How about we jump into our feedback?
Brandon hit us up on Twitter, said, "Adams, you cast so... maybe I didn't pay good enough attention, but it seems like the rules of time travel were different in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than Endgame. So, huh?"
Yeah, so it does seem that they're changing the past, but the trick is they're doing a totally different kind of time travel here. It could be that using the quantum realm causes time travel to operate one way, while using the obelisks causes it to react a totally different way. They also traveled to the future and then traveled back to their own past, which, like, maybe that makes a difference in the way that time travel could function. I'm not sure. And it could be something to do with how the obelisks function too. We just don't know. But yes, this does seem like they can change the future in this version of events.
Yeah, and with Endgame, we don't really see the long lasting effects, we don't see the effects of them traveling through time long term, or rather, like, when they get back, we don't see what happens after they've been back for a little bit, long enough for maybe some Chronicons to show up to try to set things right, in a almost like a Flash CW series kind of, you know, let's set the timeline correct kind of thing, or even Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I don't know. Why don't the Chronicons show up to mess with them in the past when they're in the battle or when they're in Endgame or whatever, you know? So that's true. I don't know. It could be that they somehow approve of that time travel, like that time travel is being done to save half the universe. So maybe that's how the time stream was always supposed to function. I don't know.
They didn't stay too terribly long in the past.
At least most of them. We don't know how long Nebula was there.
Yeah, maybe they came for Cap too when he was spending his time with Peggy.
Yeah, it's possible. Unless that's like time. Maybe when time travel was outlawed in the year whatever, Chronocoms, that makes more sense. Maybe the Chronocoms were, like, there were certain time travel events that they knew about and always occurred on all timelines, and they're, like, important to the timeline. So maybe there's certain time travel events that are allowed or something like that. Which, fixing the Thanos snap seems like a possible candidate for that. But I think what our feedbacker here was getting at was that the time travel seems to work, that you can change your own past by changing the future.
And maybe that's just the way it always was.
Well, yes, but that's exactly Brandon's point, is that's a different kind of time travel. That's like the 12 Monkeys kind of time travel, whereas Endgame is the, you can go back and cause timelines, but you can't actually go back and change anything. Yeah. I don't know. Time travel, man. That's why Doctor Who has to go to the timey-wimey well so often.
I don't know what any of that means, but okay.
In Doctor Who, at some point, he just admits that, like the way time travel, someone asked him some of those questions about how time travel works, and he's like, oh, it's timey-wimey, you know, it's like, it'll correct itself because, he calls it timey-wimey as like a way of brushing off questions, and then in later episodes, he uses it a few more times where he's just like, yeah, timey-wimey, you know, whatever, like, don't ask me questions, it doesn't matter, that's not part of the story. Doesn't matter how time travel works in this scenario.
Quit trying to put rules on it. Yeah. Let's just go save it. All right. We might have to go with that sort of brush off as well.
It's different stories on the TV and the movies are trying to tell. So, you know, I'm sure if they wanted to, they could write in a line about how time travel works differently because they're using a certain type of technology or whatever, but...
thank God for the whatever device.
Yeah, it keeps us in the same timeline and fixes whatever.
That was a thank you for smoking line that I just used there. You're welcome.
No, nice. Good movie.
Let's see, next up. Sherman Smith said to us on Facebook, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fear and Loathing, when the Hunter took Fitz right in front of Gemma, I was like, you gotta be effing kidding me. These writers are sadistic.
Yeah. That's true. And I hate to say it, but I think this is like further evidence to my theory that you hated last week.
remember what that was. I'm sorry.
Is where they're not going to get together till the very end of the season. They're finally going to get together, and then the snapture happens, and one of them disappears.
Oh, God, don't do that to me.
I kind of want them to do it to me. Like, because the one thing that would be better about the snapshot coming at the end is now we're expecting it because we're talking about it, but it would be so out of our minds because it was supposed to happen at the beginning of the season that if it's just a timing thing and it happens at the end, it would be like out of nowhere for most people.
Yeah. I mean, they're only doing, 10 episodes, 13 episodes, something like that
for
this season?
Yeah.
So it'll be like, you know, 3-4 months after Endgame came out, and by that point, you know, we're looking at probably Spider-Man would be out by then. You know, everybody's thinking about Spider-Man, and we've already mourned Tony Stark in Endgame, but nobody's thinking about the end of Infinity War.
Right, absolutely. it could be an interesting way to do it. I hope they make me forget. If it's their plan, I hope the story is so compelling that I forget and then they do it to me, because I want my heart broken like that.
I'm going to throw something if that's the case.
I want my heart broken. Okay. Well, that is all our feedback. Guys, if you have any comments on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, send in your feedback to all the places you normally do. You know, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at MCUcast.com, at MCUcast on Twitter. Basically, MCUcast on all of the channels, facebook.com/MCUcast. If you'd like to hear more from me, I have two other podcasts. I have the Star Trek Universe Podcast and the Orville Universe Podcast coming out in just a few days or so. So keep an eye out for that. And if you want to hear my music, go anywhere you get music and search for Matthew Carroll. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.